This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, 7:14 now. Sun's coming up, which is good because, you know, would have been up last week by this point. But what are you going to do? Just get over daylight saving time, I guess. Weather, let's talk about that. Beautiful spring day today, all through the week, except for Saturday when you got the St. Patrick's Day parades kicking off, and then maybe a chance for showers in the afternoon. It could be severe, but they'll watch it and let you know. Then Sunday, and from then on, looks pretty good. Mike Cooper joins us now. Coop, president of St. Tammany Parish. How you doing, Mike?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm doing great this early morning.
You guys got St. Patrick's Day out the way last week, didn't you? Or are there more activities in St. Tammany Parish?
Well, let's see. On Saturday there was St. Patrick's Day, the 50th anniversary St. Patrick's Day in Old Town Slidell.
Shia LaBeouf was there.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I don't know how he found his way to St. Tammany Parish in Slidell. But we were happy to host him.
There you go. And what? Well, you got some more celebrations? I didn't mean to catch you off the guard
here. Marty Paws was on Sunday as well. Mm-hmm. that's the Pooch Parade in downtown Covington. This coming weekend, this Saturday, is Crew de Pooch on the Mandeville Lakefront, another puppy dog parade. And just lots going on these upcoming weekends, and we certainly hope the weather holds out for us.
Let's talk about what's coming up on a ballot for St. Tammany Parish, Mike.
Okay, so a major issue for us here in St. Tammany is funding our major infrastructure projects and our criminal justice system, our public safety agencies. And we've heard our citizens say long enough that we pay enough in taxes, we want you to live within our means. So we're asking our citizens to rededicate an existing 2-cent sales tax, rededicate the use of, and extend the term for another 25 years so that we can provide long-term infrastructure improvements through bond issues and also fund our critical needs in our criminal justice system. We have an obligation to do so, and we do not have sustainable funding for that. So this is a win-win situation in which we can utilize existing sales taxes to fund more services.
Mike, when you talk about rededicating and people expecting you to, you know, live within your means, and I understand that, but I also understand that the population of St. Tammany Parish has exploded and that inflation has affected all of us. So is that, although this is not a new tax, this is just a renewal, correct?
Yes, it will be a renewal of an existing 2-cent sales tax that's paid by those who shop in the unincorporated areas of St. Tammany. Not only our own citizens, but those like you and your friends who come to St. Tammany Parish and buy gas, buy tickets to events, eat in our restaurants, and do so many things here in St. Tammany. So the tax burden is shifted to those who actually shop in St. Tammany, not those who just live here. So it's an existing 2 cent sales tax. And as our parish grows, there are more demands. There are more demands on our parish, on our services. So as we continue to increase the sales tax revenue, we also have increased demands. So this is a plan that has been vetted by our bonding professionals, our financial advisors, and is supported by all 14 parish council members, the parish president, the district attorney, our judges, Sheriff Randy Smith, and it's a unified effort to support this so that we need not ask for additional taxes, but live within the 2 cent sales tax that we're collecting now.
You talk about critical needs in a criminal justice system. What are you talking about there, Mike, specifically?
Well, we have obligations through state law to fund certain aspects of the district attorney's office, the judges, and our justice center. We own the justice center in downtown Covington, and we have obligations to maintain that. So we do not have a sustainable revenue to do so. We have a general fund that's funded by our property taxes, but in order to properly fund the district attorney's office, the judges, maintain our justice center, and support our requirements for the sheriff, we've got to have a sustainable revenue, and this will provide us to do so. The general fund does not adequately provide the needs for these offices.
Let me take a break because I'm a little bit confused. I thought that they had tried to raise money for the criminal justice system before, and is this a way to renew something
yeah.
that's already there and then fund the criminal justice system that way? We'll talk about that when we come back. I hate to say workaround because it implies, or it could be pejorative and implies that something is amiss, and nothing's amiss. You're just trying to fund the criminal justice system is what you're trying to do. Mike Cooper is our guest, president of St. Tammany Parish. If you got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. That's the Oconar Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Traffic now, WWL. All right, 7:24 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Coop, Mike Cooper, president of St. Tammany Parish, about a thing that's going to be on a ballot March 29th that would rededicate sales tax paid. The people who get to vote on this are in unincorporated St. Tammany Parish. Correct me if I'm wrong, Cooper. And the only people that would pay it are people that buy things in unincorporated St. Tammany Parish. Accurate?
That's correct.
Okay.
When the sales tax district was established back in 1986, it was formed for the purpose of funding infrastructure projects in the unincorporated areas of St. Tammany, because the municipalities have their own taxes to provide their own funds to provide their own projects within their jurisdictions.
Right, I'm looking at a story here by Bob Warren from NOLA.com. A quote you as saying, "It's not like the first four attempts." Saying that when voters are hearing from the DA, from the judges, I think that lends credibility. Let's talk about the previous attempts to fund the criminal justice system. And let me read this text, Mike, and you can weigh in on this as well, all right? It says, the courthouse looks lovely, very well maintained, and I see no shortage of police officers on the streets. When people hear, let's take money from roads and infrastructure and give it to criminal justice, that sounds like let the roads crumble and build more jails. Sometimes what you see is not necessarily the truth, and when you assume, we all know what happens. So talk about all of that, if you would, please.
Okay. That's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's a valid concern if you do not know all of the facts. This does not fund police officers or the sheriff's department, the patrol on the streets. The Justice Center does... may look nice from the outside, but we have needs to maintain the equipment, the chillers, all of the units, the security here in the Justice Center. The needs are here, and it's a different alliteration of the previous sales tax or the previous sales tax request to increase or ask for an additional tax, whereas this is utilizing an existing tax. And by extending the term for another 25 years, it was extended back in 2006 from the original, or 2005 from the original 25-year proposition. So by extending it, it will allow us to bond out impactful long-term infrastructure projects, new east-west corridors, widening some of the local roads that are beyond their capacity at this time. So it's while we're providing for the criminal justice system, which is critical, we're also adding capacity to build new roads, improve the infrastructure that we have, replace bridges with bond issues. And we already have a list of possible projects for the first $50 million bond issue.
Mike, can you hang on one second? Because I see here that Colin Sims is on hold, and he wants to join us to talk about simplifying all of this, because I think everybody's on the same page on this, right, Mike?
Yes, we are. Yes,
with that,
we are.
We welcome in Colin Sims. Hey, Colin, how you doing?
Good morning.
Great. How you doing this morning?
I'm all right, sir. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
No, President Cooper did an unbelievable job. You know, we've gotten some good feedback from some homeowners association groups, and getting the feedback is kind of simplifying it like this. St. Tammany has a restructuring problem with taxes, and you have all these taxes, these dedicated funds that were passed at a moment in time in a vacuum.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
And with our growth, these fund balances and these funds have increased. The roads, bridges, and drainage tax is one that has tripled over 10 years. And you're talking about rededicating up to 17% of it, not to exceed 17%, so that the money can be used for its traditional purposes. All we're talking about doing is having sustainable funding to maintain the status quo. If this doesn't happen, like President Cooper said, there's not a renewal, there's not a ongoing, regular, reoccurring source of money to maintain what we have today. Not looking for more money, not looking to increase the DA's budgets, not looking to increase the judges' budgets, but you're talking about potential 55% cuts to our current level of funding if this doesn't happen.
Let me sum it up this way, gentlemen, and you can tell me if I'm right or not. It seems to me if you put a tax on a ballot that goes to infinity, then you're the devil, but yet when the tax rolls off or is set to roll off, if you try to get it renewed, even though the needs are the same or have increased, then you're the devil as well. Is that pretty accurate?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
What's that? No, but yeah, you understand what I'm saying, Colin. It's
yeah,
like
we should not have we should not have an obligation, a moral obligation, not just a legal obligation, to fund our criminal justice system, our public safety agencies. That's a continuous need, and we need sustainable funding for that. And it should not be something that rolls off and has the vote of the people every 10 years, 20 years to see if we want to keep our community safe.
Hard to have it
and
both ways.
Community, we want to keep it this way.
Gentlemen, y'all have a good day. Maybe you can come back again maybe the week before the election or something, and we'll talk about it again, all right?
We will. Thank you so much.
You bet. Seems like it's very important to St. Tammany Parish. I'd like to, and we have a lot of people that listen here, so I'd like to direct some attention to it. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Clancy Dubose about the mayoral election, how that's shaping up in New Orleans right now. Time for WWL First News. 7:43, 17 till 8, beautiful spring day ahead. Nice week, actually, until Saturday. Then we'll have to watch the weather with all the St. Patrick's Day parade activities going on. Clancy Dubose joins us now, a friend, WWL Louisiana political analyst, to talk about the mayoral race coming up in New Orleans. How you doing, Clancy?
I'm well, Tommy. How are you?
I'm all right. So are you enjoying your semi-retirement, I guess?
I am, very much.
Good for you. Let's talk about the mayor's race. And I was kidding around the other day saying it's not April Fool's Day. Tyrell Morris is really running for mayor because it seems like the kind of thing that would be an April Fool's joke. However, when it comes to New Orleans politics, who knows? Tell me who's in so far and your thoughts on how this is likely to shape up.
Well, you know, I don't like to make predictions, but I think the safest prediction is that we will see a large field. Whenever there's an open race for mayor, and by open I mean no incumbent running or eligible to run, which is the case this time because Mayor Cantrell is term limited. So we always see a large field. I would not be surprised to see double digits of candidates, not all of them major, mm-hmm. and certainly not all of them well-funded. But, you know, first out of the gate to announce was Helena Moreno. That was no surprise. And she's very well-financed already and well-known. And I suspect if a poll were taken today, she would be in first place. That's not a prediction. It's just the way things look right now. We all have to remember that a poll is just like a photograph. It's a snapshot in time. If I took a picture of you right now, it would show exactly what you look like. A week from now, you might be wearing something different. Mm-hmm. You know, you might be in a different location, so things would change. Same thing with polls. Tyrell Morris, as you mentioned, has announced. Arthur Hunter is expected to run. I think he did announce.
He did.
He did, yes. Yeah. So he's a former judge at Criminal District Court, a very highly respected judge. He does not have nearly the funds that on hand that Helena Moreno has, but there's plenty of time. You know, a serious African-American candidate in a city that is majority African-American is going to be taken very seriously. Waiting in the wings right now is council member from District E, Oliver Thomas, who is widely thought to be a candidate for mayor. He certainly has talked about it. He hasn't talked about it publicly, but in private conversations with potential donors and supporters, he has suggested very strongly, or even said that he wants to run or intends to run, but he has not yet announced. He does, you know, because he's well known, he can wait. He can, you know, this is obviously a very serious decision, especially at this point in his life. He is, I think, close to me in age. I'm 70. I don't think Oliver's 70 yet, but he's certainly in his mid to late 60s. And this is his last shot, let's say, if he's going to run for mayor. So he can afford to wait a little bit, but he can't afford to wait too long because, you know, as they say, the smart money, the people who tend to give to politicians running for an office like mayor, like to see a little predictability, and you know, but Oliver's got options. He can run for re-election from District E. He can run at large. There's an open seat at large now with Moreno running for mayor. Joe Geruso from District A was expected to run for that, but he announced he's not running for anything. He's got a pair of beautiful young daughters mm-hmm. who are about to go to college, and he's got to pay for that. So he's going to go back to work. Well, he was going back to work in the private sector. And, you know, there are potentially other candidates who might run. Anyone from the legislative delegation, business community, civic leadership, and people that we don't even know. There are some perennial candidates like Nooney Man and others who might run. So, you know, we're going to wait and see how this field shapes up. Qualifying is, I believe, in July or August. I think it's August. The race, the primary is in October with a runoff if needed, and probably will be in November.
Yeah, I'm showing my age here, but who is the guy would run and always say bring gorillas to Audubon Park? Who is that?
Oh, that was in the old days.
Rodney somebody?
Rodney Fertel.
That's who it was, yes, exactly. So look, when you talk about smart money, and when you talk about Helena Moreno being well-financed, who do you have to have in your corner if you want to be mayor of New Orleans?
Well, you have to have a lot of people. Mm-hmm. First of all, the voters. But if you're talking about strategy,
I'm talking about money.
Money?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are hundreds, if not several thousand, people who would donate to campaigns. Mm-hmm. There's probably a couple hundred who donate on a significant level. You know, lawyers, contractors, architects, engineers, you know, consultants, and just business people. You know, a lot of developers, a lot of people who either have to do business, want to do business with the city as vendors, or people who are regulated by the city or interface with the city. You know, they want to have access to a mayor, and there are people who are just civic minded people who just. Some people like, you know, we in the game call it the game of politics. Mm-hmm. They just like doing it. They don't need anything. They don't want anything, but they have money and they like to support people. And there are people who are civic minded who have money and just want to help people they think are good people. So, you know, there are lots of reasons why people give.
I guess the way I should have asked it, Clancy, is there a group of king or queen makers that any candidate really has to court and have on their side?
There are people who think they are kingmakers, but I think in New Orleans our politics are diverse enough. There is no one group. I mean, you want the business community with you because mm-hmm. that's the driver of our economy, the hospitality industry, the people. Jay LaPere was a big businessman. He lives uptown. His business is just over the Parish Line in Jefferson. Latrim, an internationally known business. You know, look at the Business Council of New Orleans. That's an A list of potential donors, and there are others as well. I don't mean to single out Mr. LaPere, but his name comes to mind because he and a few others play pretty significantly. Boise Bollinger is one who's known to give. You know, people at that level, you know, they give for a lot of reasons. LaPere and Bollinger don't really do business with the city, but they care about the city, mm-hmm. so sometimes they give. And there are dozens of people like them. I use them just as exemplars of people who are, you know, very successful in business and who are active in civic life. You got to get a good pollster. You got to get a good researcher. You know, you got to put together a really A-list of advisors and consultants as well.
Somebody
that's just as important as getting the right amount of money.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Somebody jokingly texted in Scrim for mayor. I'll say this. He couldn't be any more absent than the current mayor is. When we come back, we'll talk about what it is that maybe the election could turn on, because the bar is very, very low when it comes to the incumbent mayor. What are the issues? What is it going to be that gets somebody elected in the city hall? 7:51, talking to Clancy Dubose about the mayoral election in Orleans Parish, 9 till 7, till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:56, 4 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Clancy Dubose, our friend, WWL Louisiana political analyst, talking about the mayoral race for New Orleans. And Clancy, I think it's obvious that the bar is pretty low when it comes to the incumbent. And I'm just wondering, at the street level, what's going to get the next mayor elected? And is that consistent or inconsistent with moving the city forward?
I believe they're looking for someone. Every election is a unique event. Mm-hmm. but they all share a few things in common. And this election reminds me of the election at the tail end of Ray Nagin's tenure when nothing was getting done. Right. Mm-hmm. They wanted somebody who was competent, someone who knew how to be mayor, who was going to restore basic city services. And in fact, so you said the bar is low. I would disagree. I think the bar is higher than normal because we really need something. The city is at a tipping point. Mm-hmm. We have to get basic services restored. In fact, there's a coalition called the City Services Coalition. It's nonpartisan, broad-based. Did a deep dive among voters with polling, with research, with focus groups. And they went out and they asked citizens, thousands of citizens, what do you want? What is the most important thing to you? What's your biggest problem with New Orleans? And, you know, what do you love about the city? And they identified five areas: infrastructure, crime, trash pickup. I don't have them all. I'm committed to memory, but there's, you can go online. I think it's called cityservicescoalition.org. And I think there's an article in today's paper. If not, I know it's in NOLA.com. Mm-hmm. This group is very serious. They hired Ron Fauché as their pollster. It's got people like Press Kabakoff and Assessor Errol Williams. And they're talking about restructuring city government, not in a radical way, keeping the mayor council form, but given the CAO, the Chief Administrative Officer, who was envisioned in our original 54 charter as a strong manager of the city, but it hasn't worked out that way. So they're going to strengthen and add more transparency and add more accountability, which is the real missing ingredient. So they want a mayor who's going to be transparent, accountable, and who's willing to try things differently, but who's also competent. We look for a mayor who's kind of Superman, a Superwoman, mm-hmm. or Wonder Woman, and there is no such person. A good mayor, and I think Mitch Landrieu and Marc Morial were good mayors, as was Dutch and Moon and Sidney. They surround themselves with good people who know how to get things done, and the mayor just sort of oversees them and looks at his or her team to get things done, and that's what's missing right now. So they put a blueprint out there, and they're asking candidates for mayor and the council to commit to something like this. It's going to require charter changes. It's going to require changes in the city and state law. They're talking about potentially bringing the Sewage and Water Board in as a city department, changing some of the civil service rules. I mean, they really need to have accountability, and it has to start with...
Thank you, Clancy.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.